NetSounds.
Okay, it's NetSounds, and we're back with another podcast. I think our second podcast of 2020, and we're into to March now, so that's quite impressive. We managed two in that period of time.
29th of February.
We're recording this in a leap on a leap year day.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Every 4 years, apparently.
I think you might just ruin the magic there, Murray.
Yeah. But, gee whiz. We're in I'm Out Studios in Inverness, and I'm joined by my guest, Ian McLaughlin. And I've also got, from the NetSounds Department of Fair Trading and Creative Design, Murray Cameron, who is striking a pose that is probably illegal in this day and age. And
it's making me think about series one of The Office.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And we've got our real creative design force, Al Donnelly.
Music is rubbish.
Trying to figure out various lenses in his camera there. I met up with Ian recently, and we talked about a number of things. Which we might cover today, but one of the things we talked about was podcasts and the different podcasts that we listen to, Ian. And I kind of came out with the idea, which the rest of the NetSounds team nearly shat themselves at, and I said that our next new music podcast will actually feature no music. We are going to feature some music on this particular podcast, but we're going to strip it right back, and let's talk about the music and talk about you as a musician, your studios and the recording process and all that goes into that, because people can listen to these tracks that we're going to talk about anytime they want. So we had a chat about that. What kind of podcast do you listen to, other than obviously our one?
Well, yeah, I've been subscribing to yours for many, many years, to be honest, actually, since I was in the Breach or whatever. Like, I actually hit my attention through people I met at Cult Mind Boys. I remember speaking to Jamie, and there was like, it was on that podcast. But I had an iPod when podcasts were a thing. I was very excited about them. You know what I mean? It's like it was good for train journeys. Anyway, now, given the fact that everything that I do, like 90% of the time, is music related, I don't shy away from music podcasts. But if I'm going to listen to music, I'm going to do that. If I'm going to listen to a podcast, I want to hear people. Because if I leave here and I'm like making a record, I want to hear conversation. I want to hear what's happening. I want to hear opinions about things. I want to hear, you know, like how people are reacting to things more than the thing itself, because it's already going to exist.
So we're here in I'm Out Studios. You are the creative force behind Ian McLaughlin and The Outsiders, given that you are Ian McLaughlin.
That is, I am.
But in addition to that, and you being a musician, singer, songwriter, juggler, performer, all those
juggler.
Kind of things.
I've had a juggler's past before, actually.
Yeah, we'll touch on that later.
That was great.
You've got I'm Out Studios here.
Yeah.
You've got the label, the record label itself, and you've now got the events side of things that you're putting on. So how did you get into wanting to do a studio or wanting to set up a studio or a label? What was first?
Okay, well, so I wrote some songs, I recorded them, that was it. We were in a position when we finished that record that, you know, everything was changing so quickly. You know, like 2012, I released the first record. So there was still kind of half streaming culture, but then also there was still like a physical thing as well, as you can see by the multiple boxes of discs that are probably sitting in that room. If you've got any wonky tables in the north of Scotland, like, you know, I'll sell you a coaster for 8p or whatever, you know. Anyway, but made that record, and then we ended up just putting that out ourselves, you know, because it's like when you look at these things, in my head, the model was you get as good as you can get, and obviously every day you're going to get better at something, but then there's going to be an intervention of expertise or an intervention of money or an intervention of whatever. But that was all changing. But then that change also meant that the ability to release records on your own was a lot easier. You know, you didn't need to find something. You could Google how to manufacture CDs. You could Google who did it. You could, like, you know. And I've always found that if you just ask somebody a question, there isn't such a thing as a really stupid question. So, like, you know, like, how do I do that? Ask somebody. Ask the people who make the discs. Ask, like, you know, digital distribution. Like, I use Emu Bands. But again, I met, like, them at an event. So, what is it you do? And they explained it. I went, okay, that makes sense. You know, so,
so it's very much from the ground up. This,
yeah, absolutely.
This is a very organic process of studios.
Yeah, well, so I released that, that record, and then that was great, and then we toured it for a bit, and then when it came time to make a second one, we had saved just a little bit of money from, like, gigging, and I was like, right, we can either go back down to the studio, which we loved, like, loved the production, we loved, loved working with Andy the first time, or we were, like, we had an arrangement for a rehearsal room where we keep all our stuff. I'd done a tiny bit of production as part of my degree, but, like, literally do not... They show you how not to break a studio, you know, and get in and get involved. So I thought, maybe we'll just, let's just buy some mics and get it wrong a lot, you know. I mean, you could argue it and everything got it right at the end of that record, but it was that sort of learning thing. So so I ended up producing our second record, and then... learning a lot, and then off the back of that was other people who'd heard that saying, well actually quite like,
could you produce us, could you record us,
and it was kind of, you know, very DIY at first, as everything is, you know, like at one point I was unplugging one of the speakers to record the drums because I had five cables, you know, like these sort of things. I had an old white laptop crashing anyway, but like you work within the means that you have, and it was it. So then that led to making more records, and then there was always like an identity thing that I always, I don't know, like living here, and I love living here, I chose to move back, but I always felt that maybe the more alternative side of things, and by alternative I mean alternative to like really really mainstream, I don't mean, you know, completely avant-garde, I think wasn't, the amount of it that was here maybe wasn't represented as well as it maybe could be.
Inverness compared to Edinburgh?
Compared to every other place.
Yeah, because, okay.
But then again, and there is less of it, but there is less people that live here, so that makes sense. But I felt there was enough of it to try and muddle everyone together, you know, and try and create essentially a funnel. Do you like this? Well, these guys also exist. Do you like this? These guys also exist.
Yeah.
And I guess in some ways as well, label wise, to try and not force people into making records that I really felt should exist, but just to encourage them, shall we say? So. That's how the label started, and then the name of the label, like that, I'm out, IMOUT, was literally just the start of the barcode on the first album,
right? Yeah.
So it was I'm out ALB001. So when I had to pick a name, I said, well, that's there.
Mm-hmm.
I lucked out because it's not a real word.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you Google that, all you're going to get is our stuff. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. First Inverness label, was it?
No, I think there would have been folk ones and stuff, I believe. It's
Gaelic Scottish things.
Is there?
Yeah. I think so. But I think this is not the first I'm out records, not the first kind of indie kind of rock
potentially
label, I think, Inverness.
Do you know, I never thought about it. I never looked into it because it just made sense to.
We've just said it is, so.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, you have. that's it.
We can do disclaimers later.
And it's stuff that I found really interesting, and it just pulling stuff together to organise some stuff, and
yeah,
a lot of it's admin, really. Not been funny, but like it's, you know, like to go right. And I've always wanted to push things that I really enjoy as much as possible, but.
Yeah.
But there's things I've picked up over the years. So, like, right, you're a lot of musicians, myself included in the past, aren't very good at organising themselves, you know. And to get a little hand to go, right, how do we do this? What happens now? You got to learn.
The Outsiders, even talking The Outsiders, was the first record released on this label then?
Well, yeah, I guess. But
other than that, what was the first artist you had?
So we self-released those. There wasn't a label yet, but I guess technically it was.
Yeah.
And then Lionel stuff, which I produced, the earlier stuff, again, that's a big learning curve. Dr. Wook record. The Strives record.
Yeah.
And then did the Little Mill of Happiness record. That was actually produced elsewhere, but then I mastered it, and then we put it out together.
Yeah.
And then Robin.
What was the most challenging out of all of those?
Our stuff. Like,
is it really?
Well, because everything's guinea pigged.
Yeah.
On us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As a band, like, you know, like we're very close, and then even the mileage and that is like you know, like Dave was the best man at my wedding, and I've known like for a long time. Me and Paul have been friends for a long time. I think our needs from playing a gig have really changed as we have got older in a nice way. Like, we're really into this for experiences. That's what we're all about now. We're happy where we're at, and we want to just keep having really good experiences and grow.
And where are you happiest? Where's Happy Ian? Is Happy Ian? Is Happy Ian?
Whoa!
Is, do maybe we get a chair?
I think the public
is Happy Ian the producer.
I think the public's already spent enough money on trying to figure out that question. To be honest, and thank you all very much.
Yeah. But are you happiest, like, on stage behind the glass in the studio, or where do you enjoy it best?
I like the enjoy different elements of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always really enjoyed the studio. More so, the better I get at it, if I'm honest with you. Knowing that if you do things and it sounds like that, and then you can figure out. It's a completely different experience playing a live gig. I've had some great ones. I've had some real stinkers. I enjoy it all. If it's done well.
I'm interested in the Robin Abbott. Record that you've recorded and produced, because Robin Abbott's one of those guys who's been around the Inverness Highland scene for a long time.
Yes,
long before a long time.
Yes,
and this is this the first time he's
no,
so really, it's not the first time he's produced some material, but
no, because the Lush Rollers
in a long time. No, but under his own steam.
Well, the thing is with that is, like, when I came up through working in the bar, I worked, like, as soon as I was 18, I got a job in the venue, you know. Was like amongst it, and the first band I ever went to see, like from people here, I went to see the Mystics in the Market when I was probably shouldn't have been there, but you know, like these are things that are, you know, and then that sort of stays. The Mystics played my wedding. I rented a flat from Fergus. You know, it's all these amazing. Yeah,
wedding and rent a flat.
Exactly. So it's the mileage in these things is amazing, but then. So I missed the Rollers because it was like, you know, I wasn't old enough, but sort of chatting and you know, in places, and he just, you know, came up that he had some songs and then so it kind of became like
he's this, quite a shy character in many ways.
He's very unassuming,
humble.
Yeah, unassuming.
Yeah,
pretty chilled. Yeah. Like, and I thought these are going to be, you know, great, and so took a bit of convincing, but. Come and do it, you know. And I always felt that if, like, a studio and a label here, that was kind of its role, in a sense as well, like
to encourage.
Well, that. just to find the best stuff that is from here, and be like, right, let's do it. Let's do it, you know, because if we don't, it's just it's amazing. But no one can hear it because it's amazing, but it doesn't exist. So let's do that.
And you're right. And I think that's one of the reasons we started doing our podcast way back,
because
although it's expanded in many ways, as have we, over the years, but it's kind of like Murray and I would be going to gigs around Inverness, and we'd be like, on Monday morning we'd be in work chatting to somebody about some band we'd either heard or seen, and we'd get blank looks and be like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And we kind of thought, well, let's do something to try and get that. So you, by capturing these bands here, is capturing some of the best talent from the area. I mean, the ones you mentioned there, like Lionel Strives, Dr. Wook, Robin's solo stuff there as well, and of course your own. I think it does that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's great. Like, I really enjoy it, but like, so Robin's stuff as well, it was like,
there was one track you mentioned in particular.
Well, the whole thing, it was always a privilege to be part of, you know. And again, and Robin's so unassuming as well. Like he's belting out these ridiculously good takes and writing these amazing songs that are, like, reminding me of stuff that is just so good and, like, really. Like, there's the track that, if you're going to play it, the track was She Once Cared, and I heard the chorus, and the hairs on my arm stood up, and I just started instantly thinking about Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. And I was like, what? Nobody knows that the guy that they see, like, maybe once, twice a week, has written this thing. That's a privilege.
That song when we met that day. I went, when I was heading back to work, played that She Once Cared. It's a great track.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. And I like all the tracks on that record. They're all amazing, but that one in particular for me, I was like, I remember. But there are moments when you're doing stuff, and then mixing it, but then at one point, like, the chorus hit again, and I sat back from it and went,
yeah,
fuck. Moments like that are why it's a kind of magic, essentially. It's like, you know, how has this come together? So I'm really pleased that we managed to put that record in the world.
We had a moment like that when, so we're probably embarrassing in here, when we filmed and recorded Ian in session at Belladrum. Oof. 2014 or 15, the year of the teepee. Acoustic version of
Don't Speak.
Yes.
And it was one of those moments. There's been a couple when we've done sessions that we really weren't prepared for, because I was getting some, if I do say so myself, really nice upshot nasal up nose shots of Ian.
You're lucky, man.
Nice black and white ones, and you get some cracking shots, and the audio was great. I think Graham Brown was doing the audio for us, and it sounded really good. And it was just one of those moments that we were like looking at each other filming this going, this is great, wasn't it? It was good. Other one was
It was very kind.
You were actually greeting around the back of the tent afterwards. Was Rachel Sermani?
Yeah,
I was greeting at his one.
Yeah,
we sniffling at the end.
So there you go.
Well, that's.
So you, so you talk about the getting the hairs in the back of the neck and the arms for Robin Abbott. That was our.
Yeah, that's weird. Well,
that's
the likes of you.
That's what I'll do it for. You know, it's all moments. Yeah. Really, at the end of the day, and.
I'm now currently stroking Ian.
Is that
no. I'm going to leave the room now.
Oh, yeah.
Come off.
It's, no, it was great. And sometimes things just come together and things suit environments and stuff. And,
yeah.
There's a real catharsis, and this is a thing that I've always, this yeah. thing I fell in love with when I fell, because it is like falling in love.
Yeah.
You fall in love with music and a catharsis, and then I guess an element of escapism, but then I find myself more drawn to the stuff that isn't escapism. I find myself more to the stuff that's head on.
No.
Like, and that's across everything. It's in music, arts, and film. Mm-hmm. Is it a bit rough? Right, there it is. And, yeah. But then, I don't know if that's a Scottish thing, but or whatever, but that's the stuff I find myself really drawn to. And that's great, you know. Some music is made for people just to go dance.
Yeah.
Great, that's fine. That's its purpose. Some music is made to be really, really angry. Mm-hmm. That's great. I've always found myself drawn to the stuff in the middle, like anything with a little bit of melancholy, a bit of maybe uncomfortable reality, maybe something, you know, mm-hmm. aggressively emotional. Like yeah. that, I've always kind of found that interesting.
Yeah. And what about another artist that we, in fact, last year at Belladrum 2019, Katie Gregson-McLeod,
mm-hmm.
young, unassuming, in fact, I have to say, most of the music, in fact, all of the Music Plus artists that we've mm-hmm. worked with and recorded with over the last 2 or 3 years at Belladrum have been outstanding. Now, and I mean that in every aspect, from turning up on time to having their guitars tuned
to exactly what's
knowing what to do, when to do. It's like bands, the worst thing for you must be a band coming in here to record and go, well, we haven't really rehearsed this track
well,
yet.
Well, that's pre-production.
I learned
the hard way. Well, the hard way, you know.
But like, Katie was one of those, and literally, wrongly, you kind of think there's a couple of the young guys who are going to come in here and you're like, right, well, we'll give them an extra 20 minutes, and I don't mean this badly at all, but we give them an extra 20 minutes, half an hour, because let them, you know, there's pros here who are coming in and they'll probably rattle off that. It was the pros that were causing us most of the problem.
Well, it's
before,
like,
during, and after.
We've got a special microphone we want you to use.
Well, get it out of your bag.
But you've worked with Katie.
Yeah, Katie was great.
Done some work with her,
like,
didn't you?
Like, great. Like,
she's only, what, 19, 20 or something like that.
She was great. But again, you were talking about Music Plus, so that's people knowing about that. Is so important because it goes back to that asking questions thing. And the only reason that somebody will probably know more about it than you do is, number one, they probably tried it, got it wrong, learnt from it, and they're probably a wee bit older. It's like nobody's like a fountain of all knowledge, nobody's any of these things, everyone's learning new stuff every day. But if you ask somebody who's been doing it for a lot longer than you, what do you think of this, what's the crack with this, they'll tell you. And I think everyone I know, certainly, especially like here now, shares everything they've learned, shares all that. There's not a, oh, I can't tell you that. Or you know what I mean? So, like, Katie came in, she was ready. And, but, like, so Josh from Lionel was her Music Plus mentor.
He was a mentor, yeah.
So, like, when I can't remember who was in touch to come record, like, I asked Josh, like, what's she like? Is it going to be a pleasant experience? How much? So, you know, how to structure the day, to structure the session, to make things go well. The last thing I want to do is somebody to come in who's not quite ready, have a terrible experience, and then they've sold the guitar on eBay like 3 days later, you know.
And that's not just about wasting that for you. That's everyone's time.
It's not about time.
That experience.
It's not about time. If it took a bit of time to get something right, I'd spend it, absolutely. But, you know, like,
You've recorded a few tracks where she's going to be releasing some stuff.
Just one, track called Naive.
Okay.
And it's on the piano, actually, not on the acoustic guitar.
How healthy is music scene, do you think, in the Highlands or in Inverness?
I think there's a lot going on. I mean, like, I think the fact that... I'm kind of isolated in a way, as in, so I'm here a lot.
But you're probably more connected to it than most of us.
Well, I kind of find out what's happening by what people that come through the door. You know, so... But that's great, and it's, you know, it's, there's a lot going on. I mean, like, I'm recording everything from, like, there's some hip-hop guys, there's, like, some folk stuff, and again, a lot of people get fixated with youth, right, and that's fine, that's great, but music doesn't really have an age limit to me. You know, if you've never heard something before, you've still never heard it before, you know,
Exactly.
It's that simple. If it's you know, it's that. Is it,
whether so, it's Robin Abbott or uh-huh. whether it's Katie Gregson McLeod, someone like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It's the effect, as you said, that Robin track, for instance, and then mm-hmm. great stuff like people like Katie are producing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what
age. If it's new, it's new. If it's new to you, it's brand new. And I think, you know, I think streaming gets a hard time, but I think it's amazing. Like, absolutely wonderful. It's like, I remember the first time the iPod came out, and I went, what do you mean I could put all my mm-hmm. on one thing?
Not if you're Murray.
Well, not, well, yeah, I had the 20 gigabyte Creative Zen back in the
day. Murray struggled with that. What was it, 80 gig?
80 yeah. gig.
And could you fit all your albums on it?
I was adding the delete stuff every time I would update it.
That's
yeah,
okay.
You were trying to put vinyl on it.
Yeah.
With a hammer.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I love that. And but I think what it's good, you know, that now that new music playlists I think are being curated, because for a long time, and I was guilty of this when I had an iPod as well, you kind of stick to your own greatest hits, right?
Yeah.
So like the new music, but it's great that they're curated and they're there now. But like I have indeed been guilty of, you know, you turn your phone on whatever, and like, oh, Dark Side of the Moon comes on. Well, it's going to be amazing. That's I won't even look for something else, or I'll just listen to, like, you know, Rush again. Oh, it's
I think the new music playlist can take you out of your comfort zone and let you experience something that or listen to something you've not heard before.
And that's the only thing I've got to be careful about.
NetSound's new music playlist is really good, actually.
Well, yes.
Murray did the last one.
I know, I saw it.
Yeah.
The Kane's boys are on there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, that was like
playlists are hugely popular just now, and they're actually influencing a lot of labels and indeed artists. Do you think are playlists becoming more popular than albums, traditional albums?
Well, I mean,
because of streaming, are more people
The format of consumption has changed, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people will listen to one or two tracks from a thing, but then at the same time, it depends who it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like if I went on your phone and looked at like how you consume your music, you might still be going albums.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Someone else might be you like only Discover Weekly is like all they listen to, and they're delighted by that, and that's great. But that'll be one track from like a band or whatever. It's all completely down to whatever. And honestly, just at the level that we're doing things,
does it matter?
I don't really.
I think
know.
If you were to look at, so Murray's probably got the purest collection on his phone and his Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Hoodie's Spotify and my Spotify is probably heavily influenced by our daughters.
Aye.
So if it wasn't expensive, I would be shifting to a family package, because everyone at the end of the year were being wankers and sharing their whole.
That's when you get your top 20.
This is my top 20, and they're showing off, you know.
Yeah,
my top 20 albums that I've listened to in the last decade. And I honestly looked at mine for 2019 and thought, I can't share that.
No.
I had Dojo Cat, I had Little Mick. I had, there's Neon Waltz, or there's someone else, but it was like, there's the Beatles, that's fine.
Or something. Everything else was like Little Mix.
Okay. Yeah, that's
they'll be very grateful for their hundredth of a penny, you know, every single you know, it's all good. Yeah.
Which obviously skewers my New Music Friday playlist that I get from Spotify.
Jamie, just get the family package.
Just need to get it, won't I? Yeah.
What is it, another £8 or something?
Or ban them from.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Stop your kids from consuming music. Yeah. That's what to do.
Get your kids to contribute to the Spotify.
Yeah.
Sending his kids to work.
One of my work colleagues was horrified that I, and again, going back to snobbery music, horrified that I was letting kids listen to stuff like Little Mix and all that kind of stuff. And you've got great records in your collection. You should be getting them to listen to Radiohead or Pink Floyd and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, why? My parents never did that.
No, I mean,
and we turned out all right.
Evie was a small child, I have her on video, and I'm letting her hear Led Zeppelin in the car, going, Led Zeppelin, and she's just shaking her head. No, like it.
There you go.
Like it. I knew I was fucked from then on.
Yeah.
She picks her own thing.
Let them.
That's great.
Yeah, because I did. My mum didn't force Jimmy Shand and Callum Kennedy on me.
I was about to say, if you'd listen to your mother, this would be a very different podcast.
Well,
welcome to the Daniel O'Donnell hour.
Yeah.
But people want different things from music as well, you know, like my mum went to see the Eagles, and she loved it. And she said, "Do you know what? Sounded just like the CD." And in my head, that sounds like the worst gig ever.
Yeah.
But, but in her mind, that's perfect.
Yeah, she was thinking, do it.
Absolutely perfect. That's what she wanted. Yeah. She was delighted. She went to her concert. You know, so that's all different things.
Yeah.
And you know, you can share things with people. You can share things. It's the same with everyone. Share things you love with people, but they might not like it. Now, it's how you react to that. I mean, I'm sure I'm guilty in the past of maybe overreacting to that, whatever.
No, you're right.
And, but I mean, at the end of the day, like make art or be involved in art or music or anything that you like.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. Do your best with it, and that's it. And you know, I get a lot of time and money that you've all spent on that decision. Thank you very much. But you know, it's that thing. It's like you cannot force other people's opinions.
No.
And snobbery around it, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know, everyone wants to be a bit cool when they're like a late teen, don't they? But what is it? I don't know.
I love it when
when people buy Nevermind, right?
Yeah.
And everyone buys it. It's great. So it's like, I used to work in H&B, so it's like I believe it's in the top 5 best selling records ever in the UK, with like Dire Straits and like Queen Greatest Hits and stuff. But I know that I, and you all probably did too, when I bought Nevermind, felt like the king of like counterculture, right? But that sold as many records as like, you know, bad, like or whatever. So that's okay. And just because everyone has it and everyone enjoys it, and it doesn't mean that it means any less, doesn't mean that it changes what that record is. It doesn't changes what that significance is to you. But if you spend forever giving it like, oh, you know, I only like, it's like High Fidelity, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you like The Smiths? Yeah, but I like 2 of the B-sides from a single that no one's ever heard. And you're like,
I've sold it now.
You know, just put all Big Mouth Strikes Again. It's amazing. Just listen to that, you know.
It's been great having this chat. We could probably go on all day. Some people want to go to the pub and all sorts of things. we could chat all day. I kind of feel I want to finish with a track from yourself.
Nice.
Obviously, I'm not going to get you to perform it here in the studio because you're missing half the band, obviously.
Well,
although we've got a drummer.
We've got a drummer.
You were playing some percussion there earlier. I could maybe do 2 or 3 chords, but I don't think that would work.
That's about enough.
Is that enough?
Well, okay. Yeah,
it'd be very simple chords, but it's
one more than a.
So I'm thinking we either play something off, like Salvador, which is available for everyone to stream, or we play that version of Don't Speak that you did at Belladrum.
Your choice.
What do you think people would like to hear?
Easy.
I like Don't Speak.
You like Don't Speak. So there, Murray's spoken. So.
No, Murray has spoken. Yeah, listen, they're in the world. You choose.
So that's what we'll do. Okay. Ian, thanks very much indeed. And all the links to anyone that's interested are on our website for Ian's various endeavours. I'm Out Studios, I'm Out Events, and I'm Out Records. You can find on our website under the post for this podcast. And Ian, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Speak to you next time. Cheers.
Bye bye. So here it is, laid out and playing, sin our it's there. Let's take our time. Let our way aim. Let's not confuse ourselves. Oh, it's the end. Beside me, don't speak, 'cause we already know. Fire burns the uneasy, don't
Bye, hello.
Say bye-bye.